The idea then is to apply some of the take-home lessons from modern physics and how it's really easing us out of our addiction to the notion of separation, duality, and space and time. Not that we don't have to work within those. Of course we do. You know, we don't want to be in a state of denial. In fact, the idea is if we can remember that oneness, we can use that to become more effective within the hologram, within the space-time duality paradigm. But it's a pretty convincing illusion. It seems real, you know, but is it really? Various other speakers this weekend have eloquently spoken to this, and I'm going to probably come at it from a few different angles, but space-time, the emptiness of nothing. Talk about a few examples that remind us of that. It's just an illusion. You know, no matter how seductive it is, it really is an illusion. And ultimately, truth dissolves the illusion just like light dispels darkness. We see about one octave out of, could be an infinite spectrum. How do we know it's not infinite? We can only measure up to gamma rays and cosmic rays and down to the low radio waves with our technology, but who's to say it doesn't go infinitely far in both directions? The same with the acoustic spectrum. And again, we've talked about the relationships between those. Our other senses are probably the same kind of limitations apply. We see just a little bit. If we take real good care of our bodies in the time illusion, you know, we might live a century or maybe twice that. Who knows? You know, we were talking about that earlier. But that's not even a blip on the, you know, the billion-year age of our so-called universe, you know, let alone eternity. Space. Our bodies occupy a few cubic feet. And then the galaxies, you know, and how many galaxies are there?
We don't know.
A metaphor that I actually heard when I was in high school. I grew up in Livermore, so I usually joke with people that I grew up in a nuclear family, literally and figuratively. You know, around the dinner table, my dad used to talk about isotopes and deuterium and stuff like that. So, you know, I didn't. Years later, I realized that not everybody heard that kind of conversation. I've been always interested in physics, but not in the really deep mathematical way, but just kind of like, I want to know what the metaphysical aspects are. What are the take-home lessons? That's where I'm kind of coming from here. So if we think about the emptiness of space, the metaphor that worked for me was my physics teacher at Livermore High School said, if you take the nucleus and make it the size of a basketball, the nearest electron would be, I think he said, 4 miles away. And then I just looked it up on Wikipedia, I think it was, and they were saying that if you made it the size of a soccer ball, the electron cloud would actually be 7 miles away. That's a lot of space. You know, that 99.999-whatever% of emptiness is, yeah, there's not much here, folks. It's a pretty convincing illusion, isn't it? Okay, pretty empty. And then the elements of the atom themselves have no size. If you start analyzing that from a quantum physics level, they're actually singularities. From what I understand, they're like miniature black holes at the center of each particle. So you have infinite density because you have zero dimension but finite mass. And there's some people doing some cool work with this. Elizabeth Rauscher and Nassim Haramein, who some of you probably know. Neat stuff. The emptiness of space, again, the atom from the Greek comes from undivided or not divisible. It really probably doesn't apply anymore to what we call atoms in the material universe because we got all the quarks and all the subquarks and all that kind of stuff. But it does apply on a metaphysical level to, with a capital U, the universe, which is really what we are on a spiritual level, if you will. We have electron pairs are a perfect example of illusion in space, and that was discussed earlier this morning. That you pull two electrons in a pair apart and you change the gyroscopic spin on one and instantaneously, whether it's a mile away or a light year away, the spin on the other one changes instantaneously. So that's pretty neat. Again, another reminder, we're just getting little glimpses of it from modern physics, that space is kind of bogus. But our perceptions every day convince us it's it, but we're just seeing this little window. If you look up EPR, Einstein-Podolsky-Rosen paradox on the web, you'll find a lot more about this. A lot of cool stuff. And then there's the double slit experiment, the particle wave duality. If you read some of the literature, it talks about collapsing the wave function. And the idea of this really is this totally freaked out all the physicists about, you know, 4 or 5 decades ago, whenever it was that Planck and Einstein and Bohr and all those folks were getting together in Copenhagen, and they basically kind of looked at each other like, you realize what this implies, that this experiment, that if you are expecting a wave, you see a wave, but if you're expecting a particle, you see a particle, you know, it kind of like totally blew the concept of predictability and all that kind of stuff out of the water, because it basically says that metaphysics was right, that the mystics from ages immemorial have been barking up the right tree after all, and that really our expectation does actually change things. And in fact, we are making up this hologram collectively and individually as we go along moment to moment. Another thing that's kind of fun is the three-dimensional stroboscopic nature of reality and this Planck time constant. We've been talking about the other Planck constants, but this one is the one that's about 10 to the 44th times per second that the universe, from what I understand, again, this is actually from a book by Robin McWane called Radical Reality. And according to the research she did, the universe winks out of existence and then springs back again 10 to the 44th times a second, roughly. If you ever hear somebody saying, well, I don't have any opportunity to change, you can tell, not true. You've had, in the last second, you've had 10 to the 44th opportunities to change your life direction, right? So we have a lot more freedom than we realize. A quick summary of these take-home lessons, and there are many, that, you know, we may actually be fabricating what we think of as the universe and making it up as we go along. So if we take our finite perceptions too seriously, we might be forgetting what we really came here for, our true and limited nature.